I'm Fred Stella, president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association. Welcome to another edition of Common Threads. Just a few years ago back, I kind of met John Moorhead when he was part of a conference here in Grand Rapids. I say kind of sort of met because we were only able to do so by phone. But we had him here on Common Threads by way of telephone to discuss his multi-faith work, primarily between evangelical Christians and Muslims. We've kept in touch since then, and I recently found out that he edited a book that caught my attention. It's entitled The Paranormal and Popular Culture, A Postmodern Religious Landscape. So I thought, sounds like a perfect conversation for Common Threads. So we've invited John to be with us once more. A little bit about John Moorhead. He is an academic researcher and writer specializing in new religious movements, as well as religion and popular culture. His writing includes a chapter on matrixism for the Brill Handbook of Hyper-Real Religions, entries on paganism for the Handbook of Religion, and the co-editing and editing of volumes on religion and popular culture, including The Undead and Theology, Joss Whedon and Religion, The Supernatural Cinema of Guillermo del Toro, and Fantastic Fan Cultures and the Sacred. He blogs at theofantastique.com. He also hosts the Facebook page Evangelical Chapter of the Foundation for Religious Diplomacy. So we welcome once again to Common Threads, John Moorhead. Hi, John.
Hi, it's good to be here. Thank you so much.
Certainly. You know, it's funny because I really only know you from your work, as I mentioned before, your work with multi-faith movements, particularly the Evangelical Chapter of the Foundation for Religious Diplomacy, your work with Muslims and Mormons and all of that. This is like a whole other side of you I had no idea existed. It's kind of fun.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
Well, so this is how you pay your bills.
Well, I don't know about paying the bills. It's a creative and academic outlet for me. We'll put it that way.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great. Well, I've got a few questions for you. Because it's an interview show, I guess I should. My first one is, would you agree that both traditional religion and paranormal devotees share something in common? That is, that they're both seeking or claim to have found a transcendence from the mundane.
Yes, I would agree with that. The interesting thing in religious studies and the paranormal is that whether it's just the general public or academics, they tend to distinguish in terms of alleged legitimacy. So you've got traditional religions that are more mainstream, that tend to be more accepted, that receive the greater share of academic attention and the participation of practitioners, and then you've got the paranormal, which tends to be marginalized by scholars, and people are reluctant to talk about it, even though increasing numbers of people are believing in various forms of the paranormal. But when you look at it, really, I think a little more objectively, I think whether it's traditional and mainstream religion or the paranormal, the so-called fringe, they all represent the human desire to try and find a narrative and answers to our place in the universe and the questions of meaning. And so that's part of why we did this book.
Now, one difference that I have noticed over the years, and maybe you found something different, but I've known a number of people who are a part of a variety of paranormal movements, and we certainly have to distinguish because there's a lot of differences amongst the variety of movements that we might call paranormal. But by and large, I would say, unless they're connected to a religion, because some of these paranormal movements are connected to something a little bit more traditional, is that there doesn't seem to be the kind of moral codes in paranormal movements that you find in religious movements. Can you speak to that? Do you find that, yes, indeed, there are, that we just maybe don't hear about them as much?
I really think it depends on how one is defining the paranormal, and that's a big issue. In the book, we really draw upon Jeffrey Kripal's definition, looking at those beliefs and phenomena that tend to be at odds with both mainstream religious understandings and current scientific knowledge. So that's a pretty broad definition, and as you say, it can include a lot of different beliefs and phenomena. But I would think I think that's correct, in that we're dealing with things like UFO phenomenon and cryptozoology sightings of various, whether it's Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster and so on. Those tend to be phenomenon that people are say that they're experiencing, beliefs that they hold. Now, at times you will find that coalescing into a more formal kind of religious group. So you have spiritualism and so on, which does include some kind of ethical system, I believe. So again, it's moving away from phenomenon and more towards a groupish kind of understanding, more organizational kind of structure. So it really depends upon what expression of the paranormal you're looking at.
From my understanding, and I want to be clear, I wasn't around back then, but in the late 19th century, early 20th century, when there was a significant interest in the paranormal, I get the impression that a lot of people here in America, and of course, it was mostly Christian, that a lot of people who were involved in the paranormal also were church-going Christians, and you ask them their religion, they're going to say, I go to my Presbyterian or my Baptist or my Methodist church every week, every Sunday, but on Friday nights I get together for a seance or a Ouija board or whatever it is. Do you think that rings true, at least back then?
I think that might have been the case historically back then. I mean, human beings tend to be syncretistic. That is, we may hold to one particular, give our allegiances to one large religious tradition or set of practices and beliefs, and yet we're also bringing in other aspects from other traditions and other places in the culture. I do know that in the present, those people who would have strong conservative religious convictions, particularly Christians, tend to have less acceptance and belief in the paranormal. However, people continue to be syncretistic today, and you've got people in a variety of religious traditions that they would identify with who would still hold to some kind of paranormal belief. So our participation in religion, in the spiritual, is not the tight, compartmentalized kind of thing that we like to think it is in terms of academic exploration. It's very porous, and people are drawing upon a broad variety of strands.
And it does seem to me that there are times when interest in the paranormal peaks and then it might wane and come back again. Is that simply a matter of not really noticing what's going on, or do you think that there really are times when interest truly does exceed what it might have been a few years prior, and then again goes back into the closet a little bit and comes back out?
I do think there is this kind of oscillation in terms of growing, ebbing and flowing interest in the paranormal. I'm not quite sure why that is. I would be interested to seeing if there are some studies done on that. I developed the interest in this. I'm a child of the 1970s. And during that time period on television, there were documentaries and pseudo-documentaries hosted by people like Rod Serling of The Twilight Zone and Leonard Nimoy, who did the television series In Search Of after Star Trek, which looked at a variety of paranormal phenomena. I was intrigued by those. I watched them. I watched horror and science fiction films and television programs that touched on paranormal things. So in pop culture in the 1970s, it was saturated coming out of the counterculture in the late 1960s with interest in the paranormal. And I think that kind of died down a bit in the 1980s. Maybe it flowed into the growth of the New Age movement. And now we're back in a time when even when we were an increasingly secular and scientific age, we keep hearing belief in the paranormal continues to grow. So, I do think there's this ebb and flow, there's this increase and decrease over time, and there are a variety of factors that contribute to that. I'm just not quite sure if we have a handle on what those are.
And let's talk about ethnicity. And for my purposes right now, I only want to speak about European ethnicity. Would you agree that, say, there was more interest in paranormal activity from those cultures coming from Southern Europe as opposed to Northern Europe? And when we talk about that division, to some degree, actually to a large degree, we're also talking about the difference between Catholic countries and Protestant countries. Do you see the same level, or is there a different level? And of course, those people from both Northern and Southern Europe came to the United States, and many of them maintained their cultures for several generations.
Much of my research into the paranormal has been on the American scene. We've got some contributors in the book who come from other cultural backgrounds. We've got one from Brazil looking at UFOs in that cultural context. My assumption is, I think this is largely in the European context, kind of a white phenomenon. But then again, other cultures I'm aware of with a little bit have their own paranormal kinds of experiences. And when cultures come together and ethnicities come together and rub shoulders, again, there's that tendency towards syncretism and bringing things into the culture and into the ethnicity as well. So while my focus has been, again, on the kind of white Anglo-Saxon experience with the paranormal, my assumption is that this is kind of a human interest and a human phenomenon. We would find that across cultures.
Sure. This is just my experience. I don't have the science that you and your colleagues have. But the Southern Europeans, again, here in America, the ones who migrated and brought their cultures with them, I tended to see more of an acceptance of the paranormal in the Southern European traditions. For one thing, there's much more of an emphasis on miracles in Catholicism than there is in Protestantism. And different things such as the wise women who apparently had certain prophetic powers were often in neighborhoods, fortune tellers, things like that. I don't see fortune telling is something that happened in Scotland and Norway. You know, I mean, maybe it does.
Right.
I have no idea. But, you know, we think of Roma culture, gypsy culture, and, you know, the Italians, the Spaniards. This is just my take. So, again, no science behind it, but
yeah,
That's clearly what I've seen.
I think you might be onto something there. It's not just Roman Catholicism. As you know, Pentecostalism is much more open within the Christian tradition to the possibility of the miraculous on a regular basis than Protestantism is. Protestantism is far more cognitive, emphasizing worldview and doctrinal considerations. It leaves room for the miraculous, but far less room than other religious traditions. So I think you're onto something. It's a combination of cultural influences, worldview, religious orientations and things, and all those play a part in whether or not a given culture is open to the paranormal.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Common Threads on WGVU-FM. I'm Fred Stella, and with me today is John Moorhead. He is the editor, one of the editors, of the book The Paranormal and Popular Culture, A Postmodern Religious Landscape. I believe it's somewhere in the book, I forget which chapter or which contribution, it seems that people with more artistic tendencies go for the paranormal than those otherwise. So perhaps actors, visual artists, dancers might be more drawn to the paranormal than, say, an engineer or an insurance salesman. Is this a left brain, right brain thing we're talking about here?
Yeah, first let me, I do want to make sure, in case he listens, Daryl Catarine is my co-editor there, so I'm by no means the only editor on this project, as you've noted. I think there are a variety of factors that lead to an openness and interest in the paranormal. I think psychological orientation, whether or not one is more open to the imaginative and the artistic. I might be a little different in this regard in that, again, I do the academic work, but I also try and leave space for the imaginative and for possibility. So I want to be careful that we're not painting a picture of a dichotomy, that if one has engineering and academic kinds of interests, that one isn't going to be interested in the paranormal. But there may be something to those kinds of dispositions in one's psyche that leaves one more open to the possibilities of the paranormal.
Going back a few minutes, you mentioned that you're a child of the 70s and you were very interested in, for instance, the television programs of the paranormal and reading books on the paranormal. Back then, did you identify as an evangelical Christian?
Back in the 1970s, I did not. I was, of course, everyone's views and perspective is biographical. My story is that I was raised in the 1970s, largely agnostic. Later on, I got involved in a Mormon sect. Eventually, in the 1980s, I became evangelical. I think if listeners are aware, it's unusual for an evangelical to be writing in positive fashion about the paranormal. You tend to find various ways of approaching the paranormal. There is the secular debunking kind of perspective, and many times evangelicals will grab onto that as a means of saying, well, the paranormal is illegitimate, but if there's something that appears to be legitimate, it must be demonic and satanic in nature. And then you've got the true believer kind of mindset, where everything that takes place must be genuine, and we just need to embrace all of it. When my co-editor and I had phone conversations about doing the book, we agreed that while those perspectives are out there and they're important, what we wanted to do was create a space that said, look, what does interest in the paranormal tell us about the human interest in finding meaning in today's world? And what does it tell us about pop culture? What does it tell us about spirituality? And so my experiences in the 1970s and continuing into the present really is aimed at trying to understand what does the paranormal tell us about what it means to be human in the 21st century.
Those who mix religion and the paranormal, what about... We touched on this just briefly, but I'd like to get into it a little bit deeper. Miracles. If you believe in miracles, let's say from a very Christian sense, either Pentecostal or Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox, that does fall, the way you define paranormal, that does fall under that, correct?
Yeah, I think that's correct. And it's interesting. I think it was Jeffrey Kripal a few years ago wrote a piece that I resonated with where he noted that it's interesting that if you have certain kinds of supernatural experiences, burning bushes or angelic visitations or resurrections, people who are conservatively religious and mainstream religious traditions tend to look at those as legitimate kinds of supernatural experiences. But if one claims to have seen extraterrestrial beings and to have conversed with them or to have seen fairies or what have you, that's normally considered the paranormal, but would still be in some sense a supernatural experience or a transcendent experience, that is somehow illegitimate. So it's interesting in that there is a criteria that's being applied when in reality, if you look at it, they're similar in terms of being a supernatural or transcendent experience, which is providing meaning to the person who has the belief in the experience. So there is, you mentioned at the beginning of the question, religion versus paranormal. And sometimes I wonder whether those lines of definition and categorization are as hard as we tend to make them.
Well, yeah, and actually the way I started the question was people who mix religion and the paranormal, but one could say that it's not a mixing of one versus the other. It's a mixing of one type versus another type of
right,
seeking
right.
Seeking transcendence, as we said earlier. So, at least from an academic standpoint, if you don't have any skin in the game, the revelations of Fatima are equal to the revelations of a Ouija board. Am I correct?
You mean in terms of how the person having the experience would view them in terms of an authority?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Again, it's the individual within their own, either their religious tradition or their cult, whatever it is that's helping them frame the legitimacy of experiences. They're both having supernatural experiences or transcendent experiences that they are accepting as real and authoritative. It's just differing criteria for doing so.
What about those who do not believe in the paranormal, but then have experiences that they cannot explain? You know, it's one thing to have an experience where you're predisposed to believing that these kinds of things can happen. And it's another thing when somebody says completely atheistic, has no belief in anything that he or she cannot see, feel, taste, or touch. And then they have an experience that might be considered paranormal. Do you have any experience with people like that?
Yeah, I think there are people who wouldn't consider themselves believers in the paranormal who are having anomalous experiences. And it's not necessarily believers versus unbelievers. Michael Shermer, who's a noted skeptic, wrote an interesting article where he noted that for many atheists, belief in the possibility of alien life can function. That paranormal belief, the possibility of even not only aliens but UFOs, can function in the place that God functions in providing meaning for atheists. So one of the things I did I wrote the conclusion to this volume, is I point out various reasons why academics can find value, serious academic value, in the study of the paranormal. One of those is to help us understand not only various forms of belief, but also unbelief. So there are people with no religious convictions. They might be atheists, and yet they are having anomalous experiences. They are open to the possibility. And whether or not they recognize it, it parallels the provision of belief and meaning for people even in atheistic and humanistic traditions.
You know, it's always been an interest to me that the idea of life on other planets, or perhaps being visited by other planets, is considered paranormal. I mean, there could be life on other planets, right? I mean, that we haven't found that, but it could be true. And it could be true that somehow we have been visited by those people. And even the term unidentified flying objects, I think we all believe in unidentified flying objects. They're
sure.
Right? There have been objects that have been flying that have not been identified. You know, but how are they grouped into the paranormal?
Yeah, I should distinguish between, there's a difference between the belief and the possibility that those material processes that allowed life to arise on Earth are operative throughout the universe, and when the conditions are right, that life can arise somewhere else, and there may be even intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. So simply believing in the possibility of alien life isn't necessarily paranormal. I think where it begins to cross over into the paranormal is the idea of UFOs. Some interesting work has been done where if you look at the frequency of reported sightings, the variation in alien descriptions, and the enormous distances it would have to be traveled in order to accomplish this, it seems to violate what we know about the laws of physics. And therefore, some researchers have said that the UFO phenomenon, rather than representing advanced intelligent life from other planets visiting here, really looks more metaphysical. So the UFO phenomenon tends to be defined more along the lines of the paranormal rather than under scientific investigation of advanced alien life visiting this planet.
Do you know of any instance in, say, the 20th or 21st century where there has been some sort of event that has taken place where people claim that it happened because of alien life, and it still hasn't been explained by science yet.
Are you referring to sightings, or what specifically?
Sightings, or an event that has a little bit more credibility than me just telling you, "Hey, I saw a UFO last night. I saw a spaceship last night." You know, is there any particular event that it would make someone like you go, now that's interesting, because you had 50 people and they all agreed on the same thing, et cetera, et cetera. And, the Army did say that something was in the air last night. You know what I mean? Something that you'd have to say, that really does deserve a little bit more investigation. Is there any one event that you can think of?
Well, I don't know about one event. I must say, just on a personal note, that there was the television series The X-Files in the 90s, and you had two main characters. One was the skeptic, the debunker, and the other was the true believer. I really consider myself kind of a hybrid of those two. I'm open to the possibilities. I want to look at the evidence, but at the same time, I want to make sure that I'm not granting credibility to every alleged experience. And it was UFOs and the UFO phenomenon in the 1970s that really was of most interest to me. In fact, I was a member of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, in the 1970s, so it holds great interest. But more specifically to your question, I don't know of one particular experience. I will say it's been interesting keeping tabs on this over the years and doing the research again for the book. You may have seen news reports online recently about the military coming out and saying pilots with footage from their aircraft where they have captured on film high speed objects of unknown origin. They don't know what it is, traveling faster than I ought to be able to travel, and they don't know what it is, and it's threatening our airspace. These are things that are captured on film by numerous pilots. We don't know what they are. I think it's worth taking a look at, and it does make one pause. It's something that we ought to be taking seriously and asking ourselves, what is it?
That's a great example. And, John, we are down to the wire for this edition of Common Threads, but I want to thank you so very much for the time we've spent today and invite you back next week.
Great. I look forward to it.
You've been listening to Common Threads on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella, and my guest today has been John Moorhead. He is co-editor of the book The Paranormal and Popular Culture, A Postmodern Religious Landscape. Please join us again next week here on WGVU.